Molly Kandel, 14 from Courtney Kleiner. Caitlin Klein-Stowe had 13, Kelsey Wright 12, and Lindsey Gortner finished with 11. This Wayne and Holmes County Sports Spotlight is presented by Mazda of Worcester. Look for them online at midohiomazda.com.
Your home for ESPN Radio is ESPN 850 WKNR Cleveland. Streaming live at ESPNCleveland.com.
I know you can't meditate. If you're afraid, then come on with me. And I know what you came here to do.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Some news out of Berea today. Number one, Tremont Williams is in the concussion protocol, won't play, or not expected to play this Sunday against Pittsburgh.
And
then there's the other one. Johnny Manziel came into practice today and had concussion-like symptoms, reported them. He is undergoing evaluation for a concussion. If he is able to go, if he doesn't have a concussion, he will start this Sunday against Steelers. If he's placed in the concussion protocol, Austin Davis will make his second start of 2015. The Browns should have answer about his status later today. If it happens while we're on air, we'll let you know. But I don't think it's going to be made public until tomorrow what ends up happening with Johnny Manziel. So it would have been, I hope he's good, okay for him. Just first of all, concussions are never a good thing for anybody. Number one. Number two, I hope you get an opportunity to see him against the same team in the same season for the first time in his NFL career.
Similar to the way you expected it to see him again against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes. So that's the latest. That's the big news there from Berea today. And we're going to hear from Mike Pettine address all of that in just a few moments. But before we do that, obviously, I know that you went to see Star Wars yesterday. No spoilers, but your thoughts.
I thought it was a very good movie. I think it's an amazing introduction to a new era of Star Wars, the new trilogy, 7, 8, 9, that will be, you know, probably between now and 2020.
Does it leave a little bit of a setup for the next one? Like, do you
absolutely
have an idea of where it's
and I
going?
Thought, I mean, the movie fits the name, Star Wars The Force Awakens. So something that has been asleep for a very long time is now just beginning to wake up in this movie. Very good. I thought Kylo Ren, the villain, excellent in this movie. Okay. I thought Rey, Daisy, I think Daisy Ridley is her name, the new female in the movie, excellent. And BB-8, the new droid, excellent.
Big fan of BB-8.
Yes.
Are you going to have like a BB-8 rolling around your house?
They have that, like Sphero makes that toy. It's like $160 that you like control on your app. My son wasn't in it. My son was more into the Starfighters. Or the X-Wings and the Starfighters, like their battles. Because in 3D, you know, they're like flying towards you. So it was just all in all a great movie, great introduction. And for anybody that, and this is no spoiler, it's A New Hope 2.0. So if you understand the storylines in A New Hope, how they introduce the characters,
sure,
you know, all those types of things. But I thought it was just all in all, it's one of those things when you walk out when you haven't been attached to any movie in a long time. You know, you wanted to walk out and I wanted to see 8 like right now.
Immediately.
Almost, and because you're spoiled with television, it's like, oh, you wait, you know, 7 days, you get to see when a TV show leads you onto that edge,
yeah,
you get to see it next week or next season, which is only months away. And in this case, you're on edge and you've got to wait till 2018.
That's how it is with Game of Thrones. They make you wait a year. They leave you like dangling, and then you wait a whole year for it to come back. I know exactly the feeling.
Yeah.
So I've watched episode 4 with my kids, and then we're going to watch Empire Strikes Back tonight, hopefully Return of the Jedi, maybe on Friday, and then go see it hopefully on Saturday.
And ironically, as I told you, 13 days after the release on the 18th of December, there were no open seats in the theater that I went to. So Star Wars continues to stack up the big bucks. They're going to pay off their $4 billion sale price of Lucasfilm to George Lucas in like a movie and a half.
Oh, yeah. Like, easy. Man, it is good stuff there. All right. So, again, the latest. We'll have the latest for you on Johnny Manziel. We will have the latest for you on all of that stuff, and we're going to have it for you right now as we hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine.
We talked in the team meeting about finishing the season right and our guys being competitive and putting forth a great effort. We saw a good amount of that these last couple weeks, especially against Kansas City. And I don't have to worry about an issue in the drop-off in intensity because it's Steelers week. It's a special week for us. I know that the intensity level will be high, and you cherish the opportunity to compete against a division rival. They're playing well. They obviously have a lot to play for. The quarterback is playing at an elite level. The receiving group, I think, is among the best, if not the best, depth-wise in the league. I think Antonio Brown is might not just be the best receiver in football, the best overall player. I mean, he's having a special season, so we'll certainly have our hands full there. And defensively, they're consistent, doing some good things. I think Timmons and Shazier are as solid an inside pair as we'll go against. On the injury front, I'll start with Johnny. Came in this morning, complaining of concussion-like symptoms. So we'll obviously take every precaution with that. So we sent him to see the doctors, which is our normal procedure. I knew he took a pretty good shot in the game, and I think it's him and. We also had a similar circumstance with Tremont. Sometimes guys don't feel great after, and then think it'll go away, and when it doesn't, certainly need to bring it up. And again, we'll take the very conservative approach with it. So we're waiting to see where that ends up, whether or not he'll be in the protocol. But again, I'm not sure where it will end up. But talking to our medical people, just you got to be smart, look out for a player's best interest. So we'll see how it plays out. If he does not go, then obviously Austin will be the starter, and then we're in the process now. We'll know by the end of the day whether or not we would sign. We just kind of have to wait to hear the news on Johnny, then the ripple effect from that, whether we would go with Pryor as the two or sign a two. So all that is to be determined. As far as the other guys on the injury report, Travis with the ankle, Carlos with the toe, Joe Thomas's knee, Mostert ankle, will not practice today. Hope to get them back later in the week and be available for the game. And then Tremont, Glenn Winston, Marlon, they're already in the protocol, so they will not practice today. I'll open it up.
Mike, you said Johnny took a couple of big hits. There was one down the field where he took the helmet and he was sliding. And then the one on the sideline, I forget which defensive line kind of ran down. Was it one of those you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. There were a bunch. So, but the one that I just remembered, where fortunately it was right in front of us, so we got a chance, and it was a first down. So you had a little bit, they were resetting the chain. You had a little bit of time because he was right in front of us, and I know our guys looked at him and felt that he was okay. But I remember that one because it literally was right in front of me.
Like this is if he's concussed, it would bring to 11 of your players counting training camp preseason. I know there's a lot of awareness and care now over this, but is that still a high number compared league-wide?
Yeah, I'm sure. I don't know where it compares to the rest of the league and where that would put us. I would assume near the top. It off the top of my head, it seems like a high number. You got to look at each one individually, but it's you just have to take that approach. I mean that if the symptoms are there, the league has a protocol that you follow, and they stay in it until they're cleared to come out of it. Until we get a chance to in the off season study all of them individually, and I know the number's been high here in Cleveland, even going back couple years, that was pointed out in a report not too long ago, that our training staff's already looking at those and pulling the individual clips, and hopefully we'll have better answers as to the why as the off season moves on.
Mike, what did you decide? Did you see that video first off? And if so,
I did, and I did not get unfortunately did not get a chance to talk to him. So at some point this week when he is back in the building, I'll get a chance to talk to him about it. I know he was at home, but he was at home on his day off, but as far as the judgment of it getting out there, I question that. But other than that, it's, this is not similar to the circumstances that involved going back to there. That was more trust and accountability than it was necessarily the act. So again, I'll have a conversation with him at the first time that I can.
If he has cleared this concussion, will he start on Sunday morning?
If he's cleared and good to go?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Mike, is there a lot of teams around the league right now are scrambling for Week 17 quarterbacks? We've already seen a couple of signings this week. So is there a sense of urgency with this situation to make sure that you get someone if you really need to get someone in here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's that, we don't have the results yet. We don't know yet about Johnny, but if you listen real close, you can probably hear the activity upstairs of trying to find a guy.
Mike, I know we saw with Josh in week one, but the fact that Johnny might have a concussion, does that just kind of drive home the point that you need to play inside the pocket and it's risky if you're running 10, 12 times a game as a quarterback?
Well, but I think it goes back to the point that we've made about that, is that we don't want it to be 10 to 12. Every quarterback, it's going to be a certain number. And for the guys that are mobile, if that's you want it to be 3 or 4, because those can be some big plays in your favor. I mean, that a lot of teams are producing yards and first downs and points with their quarterback's ability to run. You don't have to look any past the team that's has the best record in the league, Carolina. So every quarterback has their style, but I just think you need to minimize the numbers of time that happens, because when it does happen, as we see the result, it's high risk, but it's also high reward.
Just to clarify, so Pryor will get snaps on quarterback today?
Yes. Yeah, he will take some today.
When you talk about Antonio Brown, so how not going to Stevens, how will you defend him differently than you did in that play?
We'll see if we can play with 12. Sneak an extra guy out there. Now he's just jumps off the tape, you got to find ways. You got to get creative. They're doing a good job of, they're just not lining him up at one spot, so it's hard to gear a coverage. A lot of times if a team has a great player and he's an X and he's always on the weak side of the formation and he's on the line of scrimmage where you can get hands on him, it's a lot easier to double those bigger receivers on the outside where they do a good job. And one of the reasons he's having so much success is, they put him all over. They line him up at number one to the passing strength, number one weak side. They'll put him in the slot. They'll line him up in the backfield and motion him out one way or another, looking for a matchup. So, and they do a good job just getting him the ball in a variety of ways. He catches a bunch of screens underneath. Some of that's part of their run game. Loaded box, they're going to bang it out to him. And he just has that uncanny ability of, making – I mean, not only is he making the first guys miss, he's making up to two guys miss a play. So, you hope that, you can contain him and present some looks where maybe they don't want to go towards him. But you watch some of the film where he's double covered. The ball's still going there anyway, and he's still making plays. So he's just kind of in that zone, and the quarterback is smart enough to know, I'm just going to go ahead and throw it in his direction, and more than likely a good thing's going to happen.
How would you handle the cornerback position with Tremont and concussion protocol?
Well, it's Gilbert, Desir, Gaines, K1, Batamosi. I mean, that would if Tremont, more than likely can't go. The other guy that's taken some reps there is Gip. He's cross-trained as a corner. So from a number standpoint, we're there. We feel we're okay.
On the timeline with Johnny, will you probably just check back in with his situation over the course of the day, or do you kind of have a schedule on that?
Yeah, within the next couple hours, we should have some information on it.
Johnny, have you seen the last of Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the total game count ended up, or whether you count that Jets game as a full game. He played most of it, three quarters of it. So it's a good chunk. I mean, it's a lot of film to go back and evaluate. Go ahead, Pat.
So I make sure everybody. There's still a question whether he has a concussion, right?
He's being evaluated for it. It's the symptoms of it. It's looking that way, but I haven't received definitive word that yes, it is a concussion, and yes, he is in the protocol.
Can you see what the symptoms were?
No, I wasn't in there. I just know Joe Sheen was in a rush, so he just said symptoms, so I don't have specifics.
That was the head coach of the Cleveland Browns right there. No updates yet on Johnny Manziel, but the Browns should have an idea of what the case will be for him if he's able to go. If he is not able to go, then it will be Austin Davis starting at quarterback for the Browns in the season finale against the Pittsburgh Steelers. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines to you, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. We'll get into our Ohio Business Machines Hot Topics. If Johnny isn't able to play, have you seen enough to say that you could go into this draft without drafting a quarterback in the first round? We'll talk about Chip Kelly out in Philadelphia, what you think about that, and also for those of you who have heard Jim Brown's comments on Johnny Manziel, your reaction to that. We're going to hear from Jim Brown later at 2:30 on The Herd yesterday with Jason Whitlock talking about Johnny Manziel. It's also Mailbag Wednesday. You can tweet us using the hashtag AskCBD, any and all Browns questions. Also, we'll have Brian Westbrook, former Eagles great and current Eagles analyst for Comcast SportsNet and SiriusXM NFL. He is going to be with us at 2 o'clock talking Chip Kelly, talking what he thinks about this Browns team as he's seen them be West a fine man. That'll be a good time at 2 o'clock. So call us up, 216-578-0850. Zagur and Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We'll go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. As I'm sure there's a lot to talk about here, especially with the news about Johnny Manziel. Let's go to Larry in Spokane. Larry, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
No way, from cold Spokane.
Yes.
Listen, got a theory. Wanted to run it past you guys about Johnny. First an assumption. I'm assuming that he has very smart people around him, that he's not stupid. Another assumption is that these videos are not, quote, slipping out. Have you considered the possibility that what he's doing, this is going back to even what he did right before when he got the start and he went down to Texas and got stupid. Have you considered the possibility that this is all part of a strategy to get him out of Cleveland, that there's somebody that he's not happy, one, with Cleveland as a market, he's not happy as Cleveland as a system, and that his people want him out? This has been a quarterback graveyard, unfortunately, in Cleveland. I can't, it defies logic that he keeps doing this video stuff. I'm wondering if it's part of a strategy to get either cut or released or traded or something. I'll hang up and I'll listen to your thoughts about that.
I just think that that's pretty elaborate. I don't believe that that's the case. I mean, I think that that's maybe reading into it too much. I don't know. I don't think that that is what's happening.
I find it hard to believe that a player this young in his career or a team of people, as he mentioned, that Johnny Manziel might have behind him, while you may not prefer ultimately where you landed, but in some case you have to chew on what's fed to you, and that's what's been given Johnny Manziel as an opportunity to be the franchise quarterback here in Cleveland, and I just can't think that I know that you can question the weapons, you can question the protection that Johnny Manziel gets, the scheme that he's playing, and all those things. Johnny Manziel's been given ample opportunity to go out there and play and show what he's capable of doing, and you've seen flashes of it, but not the consistent flash that you would like to see that other quarterbacks are showing that are of his status in their career, Bridgewater, Bortles, Derek Carr as well. So, but I definitely think that there might be conversations that happen away from this building about what if you were here in this system with this guy, with that guy, with this run game, with that coach, with this system. There's always those conversations. But you're definitely not exploring those when you're under contract and this early into your contract with a team that went out on a limb and drafted you.
Yeah, I think that is absolutely correct. I think that it just seems to me that a lot of things that you're asking for a lot of things to be true, and that would be a really calculated, really honestly, quite awful way for Johnny Manziel to approach this, if we're gonna be honest about it.
It backs up all the things that you thought Johnny Manziel was. Immature, partier, reckless. So now his off-the-field life, which continues to affect his on-the-field life, he's now brought that same mentality to his on-the-field life, which in some cases is what scared a lot of people off of Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely, and it's part of the reason that I think he's in the situation that he's in and why he needs to prove so much on the field so that people are willing to tolerate all that comes along with Johnny Manziel off of the field. Let's go to Jim in Akron now. Jim, welcome to the show. What's up, Jim?
Can you hear me now?
Yep,
yes,
we got
sir.
You, man.
Just kind of frustrated with this whole concussion thing. You know, I can remember a number of weeks back, old Theodore gets knocked out, looks like he's unconscious, and he doesn't even miss the next game. I'm sure he had to go through concussion protocol. I'm assuming that it's a league protocol.
It is. It is not up to the teams.
I think a little bit, what I said the other day, that I think these guys not being used to being hitting, you can remember, the first few times you put the helmet on when you're playing, your body needs to adjust, and your body needs to adjust to being hit. And I think with the lack of hitting in practice, maybe all these players' bodies, they're not used to taking the pounding. And I know they want to try to, save these people from getting injured in the preseason, but if your body's not used to getting hit, I don't know.
I just think these guys are faster, stronger, bigger, et cetera, and you're getting more and more of these concussions. It is a violent game, Matt. I know that you know that certainly much better than I do, but everybody responds to it differently. Everybody responds to the concussion differently. Everybody's time frame is different. You have to pass your tests, and it is a league thing. It's not a team thing. It's not a player thing. I mean, I think the only area that you could have discretion, I guess, is like bringing it to attention after the fact. But even
right.
So, these guys are concerned with their health, and you can end up being out a long time with a concussion.
And I mean, we saw that in Joe Hayden's case.
Andrew
Hawkins has ended up on an injured reserve. The one thing, though, when it comes to specifically to quarterbacks is quarterbacks are not hit all off season in workouts. They're not hit in practice at all. They're jarred slightly when maybe a defensive lineman comes in and jars them, as they just released the football. And so they're jarred a little bit, but there's no quarterbacks are not hit. The first time a quarterback has an opportunity to get hit is in their first preseason game. And even in that fact, a starting quarterback might not hit the ground one time in the preseason. If they do, there's a slight cause for concern, and that's why head coaches pull out their starting quarterbacks, or why they play so little in those preseason games. So, and that has nothing to do with the rules. That's been the standard since back in the day. You don't hit your starting quarterback because your starting quarterback is your golden goose towards potentially winning a championship.
Right. Your starting quarterback is everything. Let's go to Johnny in Pittsburgh. Johnny, welcome.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good.
I'm doing good. I just wanted to thank you. When I came on, guys, I'm the second cousin to now they're pushing for a Hall of Fame. Thanks to Belichick. I want to give a shout-out because April 2nd, Ted Gwall is going to be McKees Rocks. And it all started on your show with giving me the voice to, especially be that aggressive coming at the person I did. The thing with the Browns fans, not just how much better they are as fans. A lot of 80% are family-based, Christian. It's a lot different than what I deal with in the city. And now in 29 days when the Johnny B circus starts, the Jets, him, all this stuff, God put the Mississippi mama bear in my life, a beautiful Southern Baptist daughter of a minister. And Johnny Manziel, he did a little bit. His behavior was off, especially in the video singing the rap. His people around him aren't smart. He needs to be in the state of Texas, and he needs to find God and he can do his things, but he has to be a better human being on the outside. He has the ability to revolutionize the way the game was changed. He has every reason to be bitter towards the Cleveland fans, and that's why I always say Johnny Manziel, Ted Kwolek, and me were the only ones that were sincere as a person to be behind him, and God bless Texas, and God bless Johnny Manziel.
Johnny, thank you very much for the call.
You must be a super Johnny fan because you share the same name.
He's
now,
a big
Johnny.
There's a lot of love right there.
A lot of love for
John Football right there. A lot of love. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 216-578-0850. Again, tweet the show. Use the hashtag AskCBD. We'll talk a little Chip Kelly, and we'll talk to you when Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, returns.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Matt, first of all, we haven't talked about this yet. Chip Kelly. That news came down yesterday while Ken Carman and I were doing the Mike Pettine show. I was like, whoa, on a Tuesday before the last game, it just seemed like something must have gone down. It seemed a little bit aggressive to me. And it was, obviously.
I was in shock as well, you know, while walking out of Star Wars and, you know, pop open my phone off of airplane mode. So I was, you know, very focused in the moment. To see the Force Awaken.
Yes, you were.
And I saw, and I said it to a few of the friends that we were with. I'm like, you know, and they're not the football guy like I am, because, you know, or like, you know, they weren't wow like I was. But it was a shock to me. But ironically, you know, grabbing lunch, sitting here in the studio, I turned on the NFL Network and actually caught the Jeffrey Lurie press conference, you know, live as it was happening. And that was one of the questions. Why on a Tuesday night with, you know, on week 17, and he said the one thing he didn't want to do, he said he wants the extra 6 days to start working towards the coaching, you know, hiring a coaching progress. So he wants the additional 6 days. He said, B, it was to do justice to Chip Kelly, who made it very clear he wants to land somewhere in the National Football League and not go back to college. So it was advantage to the Eagles to start their search. And B, it was advantage to Chip Kelly out of courtesy to him to start his search and start, you know, putting him and his agents opportunity to for their next landing spot. And three, which I thought was very interesting and something that I know Jeffrey Lurie is an NFL owner of 20 plus years. He said it gave him, Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the team, an opportunity to get down into the locker room. You know, as he's always there at the building anyway, you know, mostly like 5 to 7 days of the week, and talk to the players to understand what the players need from a leader, from a coach, what they didn't like about Chip, what they did like about Chip, what they know about other guys who are out there. So I found it very interesting that the third reason why they did it now is and kind of coincides, and it makes a lot of sense, because on Monday, Tuesday, you know, following their final week 17 football game, those flights have been booked. Those cars have been shipped. Guys will disperse. So many of the players, and I'm sure some of the, you know, the influential guys, the Darren Sproles, the DeMarco Murrays, you know, the Sam Bradfords will go somewhere very quickly after a down year the way they did. And Jeffrey Lurie would not have the opportunity to discuss in depth with the core, you know, template that Philly has right now. To grab that information from those players that will make up the 2016 Philadelphia Eagles and learn what they want in a coach.
What did it say to you, though, that he, you know, all DeMarco Murray went and talked to the owner, a bunch of players talked and complained, and then that led to it? Is it hard for any coach to come in to think that they're always just some players talking to the owner away from being undermined in their authority?
Yeah, yes and no. And I think in this case, it's very unique because of the circumstance Chip Kelly was in. There's the football side, which I think the next landing spot for Chip Kelly will simply be the football side, which is what made Chip Kelly so great and what made Chip Kelly Chip Kelly. Then there's the personnel side.
that Chip Kelly demanded when he came to Philadelphia. And then there's the third thing, which I think is some of the reason why those players came to Jeffrey Lurie or those of status in that organization and talked good, bad, and indifferent about their head coach is the social aspect of Chip Kelly. The fact that he couldn't relate to players.
Uh-huh.
There's the negative connotation brought on by DeSean Jackson and not so much Jeremy Maclin, but LeSean McCoy about that he's a racist, that he got rid of all their African American talented football players to bring in his guys and so on and so forth. So that was all voiced, and I think what it real boiled down to was a lot of what I just talked about. But Jeffrey Lurie was not satisfied with the where the Philadelphia Eagles currently were as a whole and did not see a turn of events coming anytime soon.
And I would also say, you're right, a turn of events, and he didn't like, I don't think, the relationship that he had with some of the players. I think that obviously was a big deal.
I agree. Yeah, and I think he also referenced Andy Reid because Andy Reid multiple times would have a down year. You got to figure Chip Kelly went 10-6, 10-6. Now he may finish, 6-10. He may finish, 7-9. All in all, it's not good enough for Jeffrey Lurie as the owner, and he didn't see it trending upward anytime soon because of all those disagreements. But the one thing that and why Andy Reid saved his job so many times is Andy Reid would back up a 6-10 season or a 7-9 season with a 10-win season, an 11-win season, in a deep run into the playoffs. So Jeffrey Lurie developed that trust in Andy Reid to right the ship after having a lull in their road.
Well, and I thought Jeffrey Lurie did a great job in the press conference. I actually thought the questions that were asked of him were very good.
Good. They were aggressive.
Yeah.
They were, and in some cases he gave them what they deserved, but he did not give them everything.
No, but I thought he answered them openly and fairly. And I thought one of the ones, it said, did you think, how could this possibly have worked with Chip Kelly and Howie Roseman? And well, now Howie Roseman's back in power. And maybe it was that it couldn't, but I love what he said. He said, Chip Kelly wanted full power. I told him that he was going to be accountable if he got full power. And now I'm holding him accountable for the things that he did poorly as a general manager and for losing the players as a coach. So it was a failure on both sides.
And the next guy, Jeffrey Lurie, the word that he said multiple times towards the end of it, when asked about the power of creating the roster and who's going to have the control, is collaboration.
Right.
Collaboration from the leaders on that roster, the players that are in that locker room, to the head coach, to Howie Roseman, as you mentioned, to him himself, and the collaboration between all those powers to create what will be the future of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, no question about it. What is the future of the Eagles? What is the future of this team, and who will lead it? Well, they're on to their search right now, and it'll be the same people. And I thought it was a good answer, too, because people say, well, for example, if something ends up happening with the Browns where they are going to be, leading a search again, and if it's the same people leading the search, how can it be better this time? Because that's what he was asked. Well, Chip Kelly was number one on a lot of people's radars. They got him, so I thought they did a good job. And I always think that you learn from this.
Yes.
I think you learn so much going through the process that now you're better equipped to go through the process again because you know the traits that actually do translate to success on the field, in the locker room, with your teams, as opposed to, well, this guy was very impressive in a meeting, and it seemed like the right thing to do. You know what they didn't deliver and what you need to be able to get it.
Absolutely. I agree. And I think for him as an owner, there was Arthur Rhodes, there was Andy Reid, and there was Chip Kelly. It's very little turnover there because of the success that they've had. But I'm sure for him as an owner and why he kept some of the same people in place, it allows them to refine and tweak what went wrong in hiring Chip Kelly, to see through some of the BS that and the hype that came with Chip Kelly, to go find the right guy, not just the best guy out there, which I think everyone can say Chip Kelly was, or the sexiest guy out there, but to get the best guy for the Philadelphia Eagles. And that's what I think for any team. That's the challenge. Just don't go get the best guy available. Everyone can say John Gruden, Bill Cowher, but if they're not right for your particular situation, they will, ball into flames as well after 2 or 3 years, and you'll be back on that same vicious cycle.
Yes, you will. 216-578-0850. Brian Westbrook, former Eagles great, will be with us to talk about Chip Kelly and everything that happened there, what it means. Would you be, as a player, how would you respond? Like, how do you even prepare? Your season's over anyway. They've just fired your coach. How do you, does it affect you for your week 17? Do you kind of, are you just mailing it in at this point?
You're not necessarily mailing it in. And from what's come out of Philadelphia, it's not like this team was in some tight bond with Chip Kelly. That's, you know, the void that Jeffrey Lurie wanted to get rid of is that void sure. between player and coach. And so, you continue moving on with Pat Shurmur, you know, former Cleveland Browns football coach, or head football coach, who will play a similar role. He'll not have a lot of authority. You know, you're not going to take everything. He's not going to motivate you. You're going to go out and be prepared with a good plan to try to win a football game. But when it comes to, like, you know, gut-wrenching time, you know, a Philadelphia Eagle team not led by a coach with, like, you know, floating off into la-la land, won't have the fight, I don't believe, at the end of a football game or care about winning their Week 17 game.
Yes, indeed. That we'll see how that'll be interesting to see how they respond. Two teams are totally out of it, the Eagles and the Giants, and see how they do in that one. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Nathan Zgura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Again, the big news today, Johnny Manziel being evaluated for a possible concussion. If he is unable to start, Austin Davis would be the starter. And as of now, Terrell Pryor would be the backup, getting some reps at quarterback today. Do you think the Browns are going to they'll get another quarterback? Do you think they'll just roll with Pryor? He knows John DeFilippo's offense from their time together, of course, in Oakland.
I would say yes, because I would think that as a player or as a fan, that going into this football game, knowing that you've lost Josh McCown, knowing that you've now lost Johnny Manziel, it might feel like a give up if it gets down to Terrell Pryor and you don't have a third quarterback on this roster.
You really? I mean, I would think that Terrell Pryor is,
because to me it goes against everything we've been told for a very long time about Terrell Pryor here in Cleveland, that it was going to be, you know, a sole role as a wide receiver, that he's making the shift, you know, keeps him in this league longer.
Sure.
And so on and so forth, that it goes against that. In this case, it works in our favor to have him available to play quarterback. But I think it's a proven that Terrell Pryor doesn't win a lot of football games in the NFL. And that if it comes down to it, our offense is going to go super vanilla. You know, we already have trouble throwing the 10 to 25 yard routes anyway, and the long ball. That we're going to go into some dink and dunk mode and we're expecting to win versus Antonio Brown, Mark Sweeten, you know, Martavis Bryant, and Ben Roethlisberger fighting, you know, for their life, life.
Which we know you cannot do. We know that. We're well aware of that. Yes, indeed. All right, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Let's go to Blanca in Bay Village. Blanca, welcome to the show.
Nathan, Matthew, thank you so much for a great year and happiest of New Year's to you and
thank
your family,
you very much.
First of all, as a member of the family, has anyone talked to the kid with Chip Kelly leaving the Eagles? Is he okay?
The kid, we'll see. The kid is going to be, he's obviously going to be with us here on Thursday this week. So it will be very interesting to see if the kid, what he has to say about this. He's got to be up in arms, quite frankly.
That I'm nervous. I need to know if he's okay. And then number two, you guys are there every day, and Chip Kelly is known culture and bringing a different way. And in case something would happen, do you feel the way that the Browns are currently constituted roster-wise, would his version of culture bring the change that we need?
I don't know, because I think it was his culture and the way that he did it that seemed to rub the players the wrong way, Matt.
I agree. I don't think... At quick, you go, Chip Kelly, Johnny Manziel. Oh, that'd be a great partnership and what they could do offensively. And then you think about all the reasons Chip Kelly's out of a job so quickly in the National Football League. And I don't believe that from a culture standpoint,
we've had to, and Nathan, you and I have been, how many times have we been talking culture, you know, since the start, since January 1?
A ton, and that's what you were talking about from Jeffrey Lurie's thing. Basically, that's what he was saying. It wasn't the right culture. We've got to be progressive. We've got to, you know, he'd rather go home, go big and fail, which it looks like in this case they may have, but that's what he wants to do.
Exactly. And I just don't think that a guy that had culture issues coming from the college game and how he would adapt to the pro game, that blew up already in 3 years after winning a lot of football games. I mean, I know the Cleveland Browns would love 10-6, 10-6, and potentially maybe settle for 7-9, right?
Of course.
But it goes back to what I said a minute ago about Gruden and Cowher. Chip Kelly may be the best name out there available to be hired, but I don't necessarily believe that he fits where the coach that needs to be here, if in fact it is available. You know, I don't know if Chip Kelly's the guy. I know Urban Meyer's made Ohio State into an SEC football team in the Big Ten. I just don't know if Chip Kelly single-handedly is the right person to compete against John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin and Marvin Lewis six times a year.
Yeah, and those guys are entrenched. They've got their systems. They've got their culture. But to me, it is certainly an interesting dynamic because you got to remember, the owners and the GMs and all these circles, the front offices in the NFL, it's a tight-knit circle. So whatever caused this abrupt blow-up of the Chip Kelly-Jeffrey Lurie relationship has made it to all the other owners. That's why I think it's going to be interesting if – it's why it's going to be interesting to me if you're going to see, you know – if you're going to see Chip Kelly in the NFL again, or if you're going to see him in college. Are other teams, they're going to know. The homework will be done. Are they going to go with it? I don't know.
And that's why, you know, if you look at a franchise like Tennessee, which I know Chip Kelly has voiced that he's immediately interested in after being fired, A, links him back up with Marcus Mariota, and so he's got his quarterback. But this is a franchise that's been, you know, rumored for sale, you know, over the past couple of years, that hasn't had a lot of success, that's been drafting, that I think is needing a direction. And Chip Kelly would be the guy that you can commit to for 5 to 7 years and take it in the direction it needs to go, because to me, that division is going to have a lot of change in the next couple of years. You know, Chuck Pagano potentially out in Indianapolis, you know, Andrew Luck getting healthy. You've got the Texans with Bill O'Brien. They need to get their a quarterback of the future to keep them relevant. And then you've got Blake Bortles and the Jaguars. You know, the Jaguars have committed to Gus Bradley for another year. So it's a division that's available for someone to take over.
Yes, indeed it is. 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Hooper from Hooper Farms, welcome to the show.
Good day, Cleveland. I am drinking the Kool-Aid. Let me tell you, I'm buying into the 2016 Cleveland Browns. This is a revolution that's going to start all over again. We've hit rock bottom. We've been at the rock bottom as a city and as a sports franchise, but now the revolution has begun. The new beginning in 2016 is underway. We can go no lower, so the only way to go now is up. I believe in this franchise, and gosh darn it, I'm going to buy myself a season ticket next year. What do you
I like it. A little optimismo shining through right there. We like that, yes. And I hope you're right. I certainly hope you're right. It would be a wonderful thing. No question about it. It would be a wonderful thing for the Cleveland football Browns if they can turn around. I do believe, as I've said many, 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 many times, that it is without question a league, a structure of the league that is built for teams to get better. Teams are not supposed to be at the bottom for forever.
No.
And so hopefully the Browns, they are bouncing off of that bottom and will have an opportunity to go forward quickly, and that certainly would be a wonderful, wonderful thing. 216-578-0850, again, 216-578-0850. You know, when you look at this organization, you look at Chip Kelly, he was at the top of the list. I just don't think, do you think he ends up here? If there is a vacancy, do you think Chip Kelly, somebody that's at the top of, would be back at the top of the list?
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that will be at the top of the list. But I think you're going to have to wear kid gloves when it comes to Chip Kelly, and it's got to be the right situation where you think Chip Kelly is the perfect guy for your current state as a franchise. It's not and I consistently talk about it, it's kid toys. It's, you know, Chip Kelly is a square peg. If you are, you know, have a square hole, fit Chip Kelly into what you do. But if you have a round hole or a triangle hole or a star hole, and I think
what
Philadelphia
kind of hole
in some
do you
kid,
have?
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's like I think it's very different. Chip Kelly's got to fit very well into what you do, and you've got to commit to who Chip Kelly is.
Yeah.
If you can't do that with certainty, you're going to waste a lot of money, and I feel be in a similar situation to what Philadelphia just did. You'll win games, and you'll be competitive, but you're not going to get a whole lot better until everybody commits to what Chip Kelly is and embrace who he is.
That is absolutely the truth. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Brian Westbrook, the former Eagles great, will be with us here talking Chip Kelly and much, much more on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.